I guess, an installment on what our theme for the year is going to be, okay? But the verse of scripture I want to call your attention to is Zechariah, the 9th chapter. And as I walked in the building this morning, and we came in a room and we began to prepare ourselves to get ready for worship, the sanctuary was already configured, and we didn't have to do that, as it were. But we were just going through the other motions, just plugging in so that we could be prepared, as it were, to play. The Spirit of the Lord began to drop this into my heart. So Zechariah 9, Zechariah 9, the 12th chapter, and I want to read it in the New Living Translation and the New American Standard Bible, since we began last year, towards the last quarter of the year, of introducing the New American Standard Bible as our second official translation. So the New Living Translation says it like this: "Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles." My God. Let me read it one more time. "Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles." The New American Standard Bible says it like this: "Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have hope. This very day, I am declaring that I will restore double to you." One more time. "Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. This very day, I am declaring that I will restore double to you." As 2016 began to wind down, and as we begin to, through the traversing and the expiration of time, and the lapsing of time, begin to move towards the end, there was this common expression that was found more amongst people. You begin to hear people say this with increasing frequency. And they would begin to say, 2016 was a very tough year for me. I will be glad when it's over. How many of you heard that? Okay. How many of you said it? Okay. And certainly, it was a very difficult year. I know it was an extremely difficult year for me as a pastor. There were so many different things that happened on a pastoral level that just really just made it very, very challenging. So certainly, I could identify with those sentiments. And so as I began to reflect on the fact that many people began to voice those feelings, I began to prayerfully seek the Lord and say, okay, well, what is this all about? Because apparently it wasn't just me. Apparently this was just a common denominator within the experience of so many people. There was a lot of factors and a lot of reasons why people felt this way. One of the driving sentiments behind that feeling was a lot of people were disillusioned, and a lot of people were distressed, depressed, in mourning and in anxiety about the presidential elections. Without trivializing and minimizing whatever your particular political view is and wherever you fall on a ladder of political partisanship, it was kind of peculiar to me that so many people went to the almost limits of hopelessness and helplessness because of the president who was elected. I was kind of like, it struck me. And interestingly, and I can say it now because the election has passed us, but I voted for neither one of them. Amen. I voted for neither one of them because from my particular personal convictions and my particular worldview, both of them represented positions, they represented views, they represented philosophies that just didn't line up with Jesus Christ. And that's how I process politics. I want to see who's lining up closest to Jesus Christ. Previously, I would go with the quote-unquote lesser of two evils. How many of you have heard that phrase? But, you know, as politics begin to evolve and things begin to happen, and even with the previous administration that's on the way out, I began to get to a place of realizing, you know what, our only hope is Jesus. That's it. He's the only one that's going to be able to fix this, fix these United States of America, fix the Middle East situation, fix Europe, fix Asia. It's only him. So I realized, okay, God, I want you to realize that I value you, worship you so much so to the point that I'm going to cast my vote in such a way that says Jesus Christ is the ultimate ruler. He's my king, he's my Lord, and I place him on the throne. So that I wrote my ballot in, and it said, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. How many of you know you could do that? You live in a country where democracy is so advanced that you could actually write your vote in. You can write your candidate. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, see? So now we come to church and we learn civics. We get a civic lesson when we come to church. We get civics, okay? All right? You don't have to be distressed. Because here's the thing. When you read Daniel, the fourth chapter, when you read Romans, the 13th chapter, when you read Psalms 115, God is the one ultimately deciding who's being put up and who's being taken down. Okay? And which seems to suggest to me, as bizarre as it may come across, then he decided, for whatever reason, that the Trump card was going to beat the Billary. Billary, I said it that way on purpose, because it was kind of an in run around our Constitution to give President Bill Clinton another run at the office. But that's another message. Okay, y'all here? And so, you know, you know, it's a wonder to me that, okay, God, what are you up to that they were the choices that we had in the first place? Those are the only choices that we have. What are you up to? What's up with this? Okay? And so, to me, one was just as bad as the other. Okay? One was just as bad as the other. Okay? I have deep issues with both of them. But God put Mr. Trump in office. So you know what? God's been running things for a very long time. And contrary to what people have projected and forecasted and prognosticated, the world did not fall apart. The presidential election, it kept right on ticking without a licking. It kept right on going. And the reality is, things are going to go according to the way God wants them to go, no matter what. So, you know, many were disillusioned because of that. Many were disillusioned because of the direction that our country went in. Perversion and immorality was pushed to the forefront, so much so to the point that we allowed ourselves to push forward legislation that encouraged people in the disillusioning mindset of being confused about what bathroom they were supposed to go in. So there were some who just were bewildered about that, okay? And it was very interesting because the logic was, well, they think they are of a certain gender, so they should be able to go according to where they think. Okay, great. I have an ATM card. Okay, I think I'm a billionaire. Let me stick it in the ATM, and no matter what amount of money is in my account, you give me what I want to come out of there. You see how ridiculous it is? If we start walking around and letting people do what they think they are, okay, what about the person who thinks they are a serial killer? Just let them kill as many people as they want, because I think it is my personal duty to extinguish or to extinguish people who I don't like or who I don't disagree with. So we just went crazy with pushing this ridiculous legislation. We went to the forefront. We went to the forefront of the most hideous frontiers, if you would, if I could use that word, of racial discrimination and racial disunity. Our country just took steps backwards. Let's just be honest, okay? Let's just be honest. We took major steps backwards. And even those who are supposed to be at the forefront of fighting for civil rights, okay, and racial unity and equality and all this kind of stuff, you know, they had their issues. So then there was all these things, and then there was the economy. The economy, okay? Recession, okay? When I don't like the job I have, depression when you don't have a job. I have a friend right now who just, you know, has been sending out multiple resumes, and a very, very qualified individual, okay? And no matter who he sends it out to, he gets the same reply. We're sorry, your qualifications are great and they're wonderful, but we cannot use you at this time. And I'm beginning to think that it might have something to do with age discrimination because he's about 2 or 3 years older than me. Okay, I mean, one job he applied for, he's actually been working in that field for like 10 years. Same company, and they keep giving him a rejection letter, okay? He's applying to be a salesman to sell caskets. How difficult can that be? Just go to all the funeral companies and say, you want to buy caskets? That's it. You know, recession proof, because folks are going to die. They're going to keep dying. All right? But he just keeps getting shot down. And the same company will shoot down his resume, then he'll look, and they'll still have the job posting the next week. So you got those kinds of things going on. And so it was very, very difficult for people for a lot of reasons. And so they came to the end of this year saying, I can't wait for it to be over. Now here's the reality. For many of us, even though we kind of lampooned some of the things that they were concerned about, for many of us, our discomfort, our hurt, the disappointment, the challenges, the problems, the dilemmas that we went through, they were very real and they were very legitimate. There were some of us, we were subjected to some things this past year, 2016, and we were pressed. We were suppressed. We were oppressed. We were depressed. Okay? Press. All kinds of things happened. So it was very, very real. And so we came to the end of 2016, even with our congregation, we've gone through just like an incredible upheaval. If you've been paying attention, for those of you who have been here any amount of time, okay, and part of the challenges that I dealt with as a pastor was because of that. And I don't want to talk about, you know, the things that went on behind the scenes because they're not really edifying. And in spite of what the devil tried to do, I'm still here. Amen. Okay, And God will have to personally come and shut the doors. So until he does it, I'm just going to have to stay here, okay? I'm still here. Guess what? You're still here. And I'm not just talking about here in the church, but I'm talking about here in your present position. You're still living. You're still walking. You're still breathing. You're still talking. You're still here. So now that the 2016 is officially behind us, and what time is it? It is 12:14, January 1st, 2017, in the p.m. In this new year. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Where do we go? What can we expect? All right? I want 2016 to be a faint image in the rearview mirror But is that really going to be the case? See, you can go through things so much, all right? And you can be so mired in stuff, BC, that you wonder, will I ever get out of this? You feel like this is just going to be a permanent reality that I need to, that I'm going to deal with. You wonder, will it ever change? And sometimes you say, okay, you know what? I just don't see this going any other way, so I'm just going to just learn to live with it. I'm just going to put up with it. But down deeply in the recesses of your heart and down deeply within the recesses of your spirit, something is crying out, there's got to be more. There's got to be something different. And today when I walked in here, the Spirit of the Lord began to bring this verse to my attention. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. For today I declare to you that I will restore double unto you. And what God wants you to understand prophetically, hallelujah, I feel the Spirit of the Lord. What he wants you to understand is that whatever happened in 2016, it is a distant memory. But there's some things that you've got to do. You've got to, number one, return to hope. Return to hope. Okay, wherever you wandered away, I just said a few minutes ago, you know, we get to the place of saying, okay, this is the way it's just going to be. I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. Okay, that is a wandering away from hope. But the prophet Zechariah says, come back to the place of safety, okay, you prisoners of hope. Exchange your chains. Get rid of the chains of helplessness. Get rid of the chains of hopelessness and take the shackles of hopefulness and helpfulness and get back to the place of hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, our hope therefore in God. Return, because see, you won't really be able to position yourself and prepare yourself for the other part of it until you go back to hope. See, there's something about helplessness and hopefulness that affects your decision making and allows you to do things in a spirit of panic that actually pushes you further away from the solution. Did you get that? That's the Spirit of the Lord. That's the Spirit of the Lord. There's something about helplessness and hopelessness that if you stay there, it pushes you into panic mode and you'll start making decisions that will actually push you further away from the solution. Okay, one more time. There's something about hopelessness and helplessness that it will push you into panic mode that you'll start making decisions that will push you further away from the solution. When the lions are hunting, okay, and they have zeroed in on their prey, okay, the young lions and the female lions are pursuing the prey. But the old lion, the male lion, the king, is the one that is roaring, and his roar reverberates, literally for tens or perhaps even hundreds of miles. And what is happening is the prey, the one that's being hunted, now goes into panic mode and he starts running from the old lion's voice, not realizing that he's running right into the hunters. See, the old lion is now worn and weary from years in the jungle and years in the wilderness, and he doesn't have the same agility and the same stamina over a long period of time as the younger lions, but he has the roar. That's why the Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. The roar is deceptive. The roar is really not the issue, okay? So you're running from the roar, not realizing that you're really running right into the danger. And that's why you can't allow yourself to get into panic mode, because it will cause you to make decisions, okay, in your sense of helplessness and hopelessness that push you away from where the safety zone is and push you more into the danger. And the prey, the one that's being preyed upon, P-R-E-Y, that's being preyed upon, runs away from the voice of the old lion because he thinks that's where the problem is, and then runs right into the ambush of the young lions. And then when the young lions subdue the prey, then the old lion comes in and administers the fatal blow. So God is saying, shed the chains and the shackles of helplessness and hopelessness. Okay, and come back to the place of safety where you hope in me. Hope thou in God. And the psalmist went on to say, tell us how we hope in him. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. Because he is the help of my countenance and my God. Okay, this is Psalm 43, I believe, all right? I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. Start praising God. Start giving him thanks. Because as bad as it is, it could be a whole lot worse. As bad as things were in terms of what I dealt with, it could have been a whole lot worse. I was talking with another pastor a couple of months ago, and this particular pastor told me about how they personally knew six pastors who had walked away from the ministry. Wow. Six. And one pastor walked and didn't tell the saints they were going. He just walked and left everything as is. Just walked. So God, I give you thanks because I'm still here. Amen. I give you thanks because it's not as worse for me as it is somebody else. And your praise and your thanksgiving will refocus you and put your eyes back on Jesus. And now you'll be able to come back to the place of safety where he is the place of safety and become a prisoner of hope. Become bonded, bind yourself to hope. In other words, I'm not going to let anything or anyone shake my confidence and hope in God. And one of the ways you got to do that is sometimes you got to have a revisitations party where you got to go back over the old experiences where God did this and where he did that and where he didn't let you down here and he didn't disappoint you there. He did that. And even when you thought that it was just helpless and hopeless, some kind of way God came through. And that's what you got to do. And then when you do that, you'll be positioned, beloveds, to partake of the second part of it. He says, come back to the place of safety, you prisoners of hope. For I declare that I will restore double to you. Yeah. Restore double. Double for what? Double for the troubles that you went through. Okay? And the Lord told me to tell you, I even put it on Facebook. He told me to tell you by asking this question. Are you ready for double restoration? Are you ready? Because he's coming with restoration. Whatever you left behind, and that's it, is behind. Everybody says behind. Okay, whatever you left behind in 2016, see, if you focus on 2016, what went wrong, you're going to miss on everything that's going to be right. And I want to tell you something, saints. I want to tell you something. If you've been paying attention, there are little things that God has been doing, he was doing. In spite of the magnification of what was difficult, in spite of the magnification of what was challenging, in spite of the magnification of the disappointments, along the way, in the midst of that, there was little things that God was doing to let you know, no, this is not the end. I'm taking you somewhere else. Let me tell you something. God has been working on stuff. And you don't even know. We used to sing the song, God is working, God is working, God is working even now. Though we often don't know just how, God is working even now. And so God has been doing things and weaving a thread of provision, weaving a thread of opportunity, weaving a thread of deliverance, weaving a thread of promotion, weaving a thread of healing, weaving a thread of solutions, weaving a thread of breakthrough. Underneath the stuff that seems to be so difficult, underneath the stuff that seems to be just impossible, underneath, God has been like, no, I'm weaving a thread. And I got a little personal testimony because, you know, I've been standing in hope and faith for some things musically for a long time. For a long time. And even got to a place of saying, you know what, this stuff is not going to happen. Maybe I just need to just focus my attentions on and coaching the younger generation and make happen for them what didn't happen for me. But out of nowhere, God created a scenario where he opened up a door and brought me to a place to begin to express my musical gifts at a wide audience. And he's not done yet. And so in the midst of what was going on in 2016, I don't know how it happened. Some kind of way God opened this door. Okay, the situation was created where someone wouldn't be able to stand in the place that they normally stand in because they had something else to do. And so there was a vacancy. Everybody say vacancy. Okay? There was a vacancy. Oh my God, that's a word. There's a vacancy that has been created that it's your turn to fill. All right? And so, and when the vacancy was there, and so the parties that are concerned begin to say, well, who can we get to fill this vacancy? And the Spirit of the Lord dropped my name in the midst out of nowhere. And it was a suddenly thing. Somebody say suddenly. I was given a prophetic word about the situation, and the person told me it's just one of those suddenlies, but God is not done yet. He's just getting started. There's going to be many, many suddenlies. And suddenly, I came out of obscurity from nowhere, and God dropped me right in the midst of a huge and a wide platform, and it's not done yet. It's just getting started. And he was weaving and he was opening the door. He was causing things to happen. He was working on events and situations and circumstances that was going to cause it to converge. But if I had still been mired in helplessness and hopelessness, I would have missed my opportunity. And it's going to be something so innocuous and so simple that you can just go right by it. And it was just a question. Do you think you could come and lead worship in this particular situation? And what happens is you have to be careful, because huge opportunities often come packaged in small boxes. Tweet that, okay? Huge opportunities often come packaged in small boxes. And if you, this is why the Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. And it was just really, really something just simple. Do you think you can lead worship? And you got to be able to recognize, wait a minute, this is God. You got to be able to look beyond it and see this is God. And he's doing something and say, yes, I could do it. And whatever is going on, drop everything and walk through that door, because it's going to just kick things open, and it's going to just create an environment and a setting and a platform and an atmosphere where it's just going to be a wide blessing that's just going to bless the entirety of your life. So I've gone back to the place of safety, and I've exchanged my chains of hopelessness and helplessness for bonds of hopefulness and helpfulness. I have hope in God because he is my ultimate help. And there's a double exponential blessing of restoration coming for all your troubles. For all your troubles. For all your troubles. Get your eyes off 2016. It's over now, says the Spirit of God. It's over now. And let me tell you something. The enemy would even try to bring it up again. Remember, this happened and that happened. You tell him, it's over now. Tell him, it's over now. Kimberly, tell him, it's over now. Oh, yeah. Tell him, it's over now. Tell him, it's over. It's done. And look forward. Go back to the place of safety and become a prisoner of hope. God, I'm hoping in you. God, I'm trusting in you. God, I'm leaning on you. God, I'm looking to you. Why? Because he has declared. Somebody say with me, he has declared. Say it again. He has declared. Again, say it. He has declared. A double blessing for me. A double blessing of restoration. I'm going to give you back what you lost two times over. And then here I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, and some on top of that. I'll give it back. But if you're mired in helplessness and hopelessness, you're going to miss the hand of God. And you're going to miss when the door opens a little bit ajar, to give you a little bit of a hint that this is where you need to go, but you're going to have to push it open. You're going to have to push it open. You're going to have to push it open. So forget about 2016. and set your heart on 2017 and look forward. One last thing and I'm done. I'm not going to get to our 2017 theme, but it's all right. We got all year to deal with it. Okay. My God. My God. The Lord is good. One more thing. Don't let the enemy trick you into carnality and deciding that you need to do things to help God out. This is one of those moves where he's going to do this on his own. The only thing he needs you to do is comply and cooperate. I'm being cryptic. So let me give you an example of what I'm saying. So God opened this door, and it's a door that it's a door where he's taken a doorstop and push the doorstop down, and the door is staying open. You understand what I'm saying? Ah, thank God for the door. Thank God for the doorstops. Okay? Thank God for the doorstops of the Spirit. He's opened the door, and then he's kicked the doorstop down, and he's standing there, and he's saying, this door is going to remain open until my son walks through it. But you got to be careful, because sometimes the enemy will come along, or sometimes people that mean well will come along and say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Trying to help the door out. You don't need to help the door out because the doorman is in control of the door. Jesus says, I am the door. The doorman is standing there. He's controlling the door. This door opened and God caused a conversation to happen. And the conversation was a signal to me to let me know, rest. Remember a couple of years ago when we made the confession out of the book of Ruth that God will not rest until he has completed the matter? You all remember that? Oh, we got to pull that back up, okay? Because the Lord brought it back to me. Where Naomi told Ruth, just sit here and rest. Because a man won't rest until he has completed the matter. All right? And so God was just sending me just a little clue of encouragement. Listen, I got this. I got this. That's what I'm doing. And so what happened was I reached out to someone just to have a conversation, just to wish them Merry Christmas or whatever, and to express to them that I was considering going somewhere for New Year's Eve. And the person came back to me and said, oh, will you be ministering? And I said, no, I'm just coming out there because I just really just wanted to have some place to go New Year's Eve and just be ministered to, and yada, yada, yada. Well, I told a friend of mine about it, and then he started having great ideas, you know, and started making great ideas sound like a God idea. Every great idea is not a God idea. Okay, and so, well, listen, you gotta work to keep that door open, and so maybe you need to go back and say, okay, well, if you need me, I'm here, and make yourself available. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices. Sometimes you got to do things, you know, on the fly. And I thought about it, and I know the place. I know the place where this door is open. And I know the place where the door is open because I'm connected to it in the spirit realm. Did you catch that? Recognize when the place of your opportunity you're connected to in the spirit realm. And without having spent a lot of time where your blessing is, you're going to know about that place because you're connected in the spirit realm. And I said, I don't think I need to do that. But out of respect to the individual, I reached out. And the individual confirmed just what I knew. It wasn't about me trying to make myself available and about me trying to push myself through the door, but it's about me recognizing the signal from God that says, I got this, I'm doing this. And when it's time for you to walk through, I just want you to walk through. Don't let carnality interfere with the manifestation of the restoration of your double blessing. Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't scheme. Don't connive. Don't plot. Don't plan. Okay, just rest, just have faith, and just wait and watch. And you'll know by the Spirit of God when it's time for you to do what you're supposed to do. Now, here we go. God's been preparing you all along by who you are. He's been preparing you all along, okay? He's been preparing. The years of toiling as a worshiper, as a worship leader, as a musician, as a pastor, the years of toiling, they didn't go to waste. But they were my backside of the desert experience. And now there's a Goliath that has been taunting some people, and God has said, now, okay, now's the time. I'm going to send you on a seemingly insignificant, inconsequential errand. But you're getting ready to walk up to your Goliath stage so that now people can see the David that I've made you to be. Seemingly insignificant, I'm trying to quit. Just the Holy Spirit just keeps preaching. A seemingly insignificant event. David, go take some bread and cheese to your brothers on the front lines of the army. Real inconsequential, real insignificant, no big deal. Anybody can take bread and cheese. I can get Ja and give her. She's starting to walk now. I can give her a slice of bread and a slice of cheese and say, take it to your mother, okay? No big deal. But David was walking up to the stage that had been set. Well, now the world was going to know who he was. He was already ready for Goliath. But Goliath didn't know that he wasn't ready for him. And David did what he was told. He just obeyed God in the simple stuff. Stop waiting for the big instructions, and stop waiting for the complex stuff. Obey God in the simple stuff, because it's in the simple stuff where the big blessing is waiting for you. Obey God. And David didn't have no better sense than to just walk up in there, took the bread and the cheese, and stayed focused on God. When he got there, he heard this stuff, this chatter and this clatter. God is going to send you into an environment where the folks that are there should know what to do, but they don't know what to do. You better be ready, okay? They should know what to do, but they're not going to want to know, but they're not going to know what to do, because God has blocked them, because they're not supposed to be the channel and the tool to solve the issue. That's your place of blessing. That's your place of blessing. So Davey walks up in there, and Davey is just Davey. Davey hears the people of God under distress. Davey hears the people of God under duress. And he's like, something's wrong with this picture. Okay? Because we are in covenant with God. And so he starts hearing the rumblings and the stumblings and the bumblings. Well, there's this giant that's taunting us. There's this giant that's giving us a hard way to go. And David's like, well, what's going on? What's going on? Well, there's this giant who's taunting the armies of Israel. And the king has promised that whoever defeats him gets a personal 501c3 and the daughter as his wife. And Davey is like, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Okay? See, if you've been doing what God has told you to do, you'll recognize the things that the devil does not have a right to. Okay, preview with encroachment. What is encroachment? 2017 is a year of encroachment, okay? When I take the territory and rights of someone else. David, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? David starts encroaching on Goliath. He says, who is he that he should defy the armies of the living God? Tell me where he is. Well, you can't fight with him. He's a giant. You're just a little boy. Is there not a cause? Tell me. I'll go and fight with him. Get ready, because this situation is going to ignite and is going to stimulate the gift that's deep down in the inside of you that you've been working on all along. I'll go and I'll fight with him. And they bring him to the king. Get ready to go before somebody of influence. Get ready to go somebody of importance. Get ready to go before somebody of significance who has the key to unlock your right to go to the stage to fight and kill your Goliath. And they bring him to the king. They bring him to the king. They bring him to the king. And he says, okay, the king looks at him and he says, oh, king, let nobody's heart fail them. I'll go and I'll fight with this Philistine. Well, wait a minute. He's a warrior from his youth, and you're just a youth. In other words, he's been fighting a long time. You even haven't been around a long time. And Davey rehearses his testimony. What does he do? He said, I'm not going to let you take me to the place of hopelessness and helplessness. I'm a prisoner of hope. And let me give you my testimony. When I was tending my daddy's sheep, some predators thought they could run up on me, and they found out quick, fast, and hurry, I's not the one. They found out Davy is that dude. And guess what? You like that, right? Davy, Darren is that dude. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna tweet myself, encourage myself. You better learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And so, I'll go and fight with him. And there's still even more carnality tests to pass. Because the king says, okay, well, take my stuff. And Davy, for a moment, puts on somebody else's stuff. But he realizes, this is not my anointing. This is not my anointing. And he says, no, I can't use this. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I can't use this. Give me my weapons. You got to know the stuff that you have been anointed to fight with. Even if it looks like it's a pea shooter at a machine gun fight. Okay? It's yours. And it's your anointing. And that pea shooter will get in front of the finger of God, and God will get behind it and take out the machine gun runner.
Yes, he will.
David says, walks up into the thing, and it's not over yet. Test after test after test after test after test. And he comes to the giant. And the giant's like, are you kidding me? Who is this skillet that you bring to me? Don't you respect who I am? Come here, and I'll make you lunch for the buzzards. And David says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Keep the name in front of you. That's another way to get to the prison of hope. Keep the name in front. Not your name, not your daddy's name, not the pastor's name, not the televangelist's name, but keep the name in front of you. He said, I come to you. And then I feel a preach up in here, you know. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, I'm going to take your head and I'm going to give it to the buzzard and the skunks. And I'm not doing it just for any reason. I'm doing it so that people will know that there is a God in Israel. And that's the key. That's the key, beloved. God is not just going to give you this blessing. He's not just going to restore things for you just for the fun of it. But so that people will know that there's a God in the earth. You helping me preach, John? Come on. So that people will know that he's alive. So that people will get their eyes off politics. So that people will get their eyes off the White House. They will know that there's a God in the earth realm.
Amen.
And Davy winds up the slingshot. He stirs up the gift. He does in a prophetic preview of what Paul would tell Timothy hundreds of years later. He stirs up the gift that is in him. He winds up that slingshot and winds it up and winds it up. And then at the right time, he lets it go. And the Spirit of God does the rest. He strategically puts his finger behind that stone and pushes it right into the enemy's vulnerability. And the victory is won. Go back to the place of safety and become a prisoner of hope. Become God's prisoner, because this day he has declared that he is going to restore double to us. Are you ready for restoration? Are you ready for your double blessing? Are you ready to shed what was behind? The embarrassment, the humiliation, the stigma. When we go through things, there's a stigma that attaches itself to us. But wipe it off. Wipe it off. Say, no, I'm free. No, I'm clean. No, I'm delivered. Because I'm in the cell of hope, waiting for the restoration of double